Everyone, thank you for being here tonight. I'm sure you have festivities to get to, or if you live in my neighborhood, you just wish to God they would stop. My dog officially has PTSD, which is not important right now, but he freaks out every time a big boom goes off. True story, he is literally hoarse from barking. Obviously, today being Independence Day, I want to just share a quick thought with you. I want us to pray. I want us to obviously pray for our country, pray for our churches, but specifically, I want us, this is the thought God gave me, and I want us to be thinking about, and we're going to pray for those in our life that we know that need Jesus. Just been heavy on my heart, as it should be, I guess, but sometimes more than others, if you know what I mean. So let's pray. Let's go to the Lord, and we will see what he has for us tonight. God, I thank you for our freedom, and I thank you, God, for those who have fought for it, those who have supported those who have fought for it. But Lord, we understand and realize that we can be a free nation and still live in bondage. So God, I pray that tonight, just speak to us regarding the inevitable and those who are far from you. And God, I ask that you would just draw men and women to your house, to anywhere the gospel is preached. I thank you for your word. I thank you for my family and for the church that you allow me to be a part of. I thank you for that. Speak to us in Jesus' holy, precious name. We pray these things. Amen and amen. I've got one passage that I want to read, and we'll read it in a moment. It's going to be out of Romans chapter 6. Excuse me. Rupert has loaded it, and it will be on the screen behind me in a moment. I'm going to talk about independence. Obviously, as I alluded to, we think fireworks, that's not a bad thing. I'm sure our girls are coming over later, and we can actually see the fireworks that happen in the park from our backyard, so I don't have to fight any traffic, or more importantly, any rude people. I don't have to deal with that. We will probably hear the Star Spangled Banner sung. We'll probably hear someone from one of our branches of the military say something, which is usually what happens in the park where we usually go. It's also a big day for sales events. It is a day that many head off of work. There's so much that surrounds Independence Day that has absolutely nothing to do with independence or freedom. In fact, I would suggest that most of what we do, and again, it's not wrong, it's not sin, I'm not even implying that by the farthest stretch. However, it is important, I think, that we remember why that we focus on this day. I think that for the most part, and I'm thankful to see the flag and all of that. But I, for the most part, I think it's kind of far removed from what men died for when they were escaping tyranny and landed in this country. And I only say that because we don't, as I said a couple of weeks ago, we don't understand living under tyranny. We don't understand it. We don't understand living in a kingdom. We live in a democracy, and we think our opinion matters. In fact, we believe our opinion is more important than anyone else's. But I want to tonight, let's kind of try our best to try to kind of remove ourselves from the obvious, and let's try to let's take a mental journey, if we could. And I want us to begin celebrating in our heart an Independence Day celebration that is approaching, that will impress the entire world. And it is impossible that this Independence Day can be diminished in any possible way. We don't know the date of this day of complete independence. If anyone says they know the date, politely and respectfully, just call them out on it, because they don't know. No one on earth or heaven knows. But no one on earth or heaven will miss this incredible day either. Of course, I'm talking about the day when it will mark our once and for all freedom from the, at the risk of sounding like I'm giving him props, freedom from perhaps the greatest oppressor ever, and his name is Satan. And we will be forever, one day, free. Jesus is coming back. There's a ton of debate and a lot of arguments, a lot of division even. Denominations have sprung up over disagreements on when and how. But we are going to experience freedom like no one has ever experienced before since the day of Adam and Eve, before they fail. And this Independence Day is going to release us from even the temptation of sin. And I understand that we are free because we are free indeed, because the truth has set us free, and we have the ability, the power, and we have been given the freedom from Christ to live in such a way that I won't say we won't be tempted, because we will, but either the word is true or it isn't, and we have been told through the word by the Apostle Paul that we can live free from sin. Now we know we are free from sin in terms of the price that was paid on the cross. But I believe, and I believe the Bible teaches, that we can live above sin. I am not there yet. I'm not there yet. I strive to be, but I'm not. And I'm not hard on myself on that. I just know it's a reminder for me that there's still some Jeff Burke that needs to die. Christ has my spirit, and I want him to have all of me, and my thoughts and my actions, and all of me. Right now, things like sin, things that are not necessarily sin but are not profitable, can entangle us. The Bible clearly teaches us that. Yet we still say we're living free. I suggest we will not experience what it means to be truly, completely free until we are called home. Imagine with me that there is no more sickness. Imagine with me, man, as I was preparing this, you kind of get overwhelmed when you think about what happens next. And, you know, we can fantasize about it and make it more than it is, although I think that is very difficult to do because it will be everything. But we can make it something that the Bible doesn't say it is. And in many cases, we can also downplay it. And I think some of the confusion lies in how we interpret many of the scriptures that are speaking of it, whether it be symbolic or literal. And again, we get into that area where so much arguments take place. And we're not going to do that tonight. We're not going to debate anything. I'm just asking you to, in your mind, go to a place where there's no more addiction and no more crime and no more death, and our tears will be wiped away forever and ever. We will be free. It will be the ultimate Independence Day. We will be in the presence of the one who gave everything. We will worship our King for the rest of eternity. Now, if you can define eternity for me in another way other than you don't understand it, other than it goes on and on and on and on and on and on, I would love to hear that definition. Because when I start thinking about it, I get lost in that. That word eternity, that reality that we will live, yet our body has died. We will live on and on with Jesus. And with Him on the throne, we will worship. We will give Him our crowns. We will give Him what He deserves. The reason this is kind of heavy on me right now is because Sunday I'm going to start a series that I've entitled Mystery and Wonder. Mystery and Wonder, that was right. Mystery and Wonder. I'm going to, we together are going to dive into the scriptures and what does the Bible say about worship? What does it mean? I have polled many people that did not know they were being polled and asked them what the definition of worship is. And church kids answer it one way. New believers answer it another way. Depending on the denomination that the individual may be associated with, they will answer it another way. And I suggest that Jeff Burke is just learning what worship is. And we're going to start a journey Sunday where you're just going along with me as we get on the worship bus and we see what the Bible says about it. And it's a mystery. It's a wonder. And it has to do with the subject we're talking about tonight. We need to begin now preparing for our Independence Day that's coming. I believe that we get confused Jeff gets confused. I won't indict you. Jeff gets confused in what worship looks like, and then I'll read the scripture of what's going on in heaven at this very moment, and I realize I missed it by a mile, and I want to marry the two together, because we were instructed to pray God's kingdom now that is in heaven would be on earth. So that clearly means that what is happening in heaven, we have the ability to bring that to earth because we have a connection with heaven, because that's our real home. We are just passing through. If you're still following me, say amen. Now we have the Spirit, thank God, to guide us. We have the Spirit to strengthen us. We have the Holy Spirit of the living God inside of us to comfort us, to give us power, to give us the ability to make right decisions. However, don't raise your hand, but I would say that if I gave you an opportunity, you would say that you've probably messed it up this week at least once. If you haven't, I will gladly concede, lay this microphone down and allow you to speak to us, because I want to hear from you. But the reality is that even with the presence, this is the part that my top of my head blows off, with the presence of God in us, we still do that which we wish we didn't do. And we don't do, as Paul said, what he wants us to. So the answer is our independence, that is our freedom, in this case from sin, but it's also our dependence 100% on Jesus. Romans chapter 6, let's slowly read together a handful of verses, if that's okay. We'll read 16 through 23, and I have it typed up in the New Living Translation. I just love the way it was rendered. It flowed well. And what you're going to find in this passage is that we are free. Hallelujah. Mic drop, case closed, exclamation point, we're done, good night. But we got to wait a second, because we are free from sin, but yet we all kind of nodded our head that we still do. And I know that we can like take the scapegoat route and say, well, you know, it's my flesh, I haven't, it's this, or the devil made me do it, or whatever the new phrase is. I don't know, I'm not in touch with that, I guess, but I this passage messes with me. It messes with me because I am so encouraged by this passage because of what God has given us that allows us to be free. But it causes me to also feel convicted because of how many times I miss the mark on this. And I want us to read it in light of the true once and for all Independence Day, when Jesus splits the sky and calls us home. I remind you, what's happening in heaven should be happening in our lives today. Jesus said to his disciples, and so much more than me you will do. You will accomplish. You will finish. So much more. Jesus said that. He said that about me. He said that about you. He said that to his disciples. He says it to the generation coming behind us. He said it to the generation that has already gone before us. I haven't lived up to that, and I want to. And I'm going to, with the help of the Holy Ghost, because of this passage. This passage says I can. I just got to get out of the way. Because when that true Independence Day comes, when we are set free once and for all, free from everything that entangles us, and we go home, when that happens, man, I want to be able to give Jesus something back for all that he gave to me. Let's read it together. Romans 6 will begin in verse, is it 16? Right on. It reads this: don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? Pause. Not because I have something to say, I want you to think about that sentence. Doesn't Jeff Burke realize that he becomes the slave of whatever he chooses to obey? Paul goes on to say, you can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. You can be, go back. You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death. We know that. We know that it happened in the Garden of Eden. It happened in the most perfect of environments where sin led to death. Or, and I love that that's there because we have a choice. Or I can choose to obey God, which will lead me to righteous living. Now, before we go to the next verse, I just want to pose a question, and we'll pretend this is children's church, and you can talk back. Which leads to righteous living? Righteous living. What is that? No, I'm not asking because there's a trick question in here anywhere. I'm not even really asking because I'm clueless on the matter. I'm asking because this was also part of my poll. And this means so many different things to so many different people. I want to hear from you. What does that mean to you? And there's no right, wrong. I'm not going to check you on it. I promise. This ain't a trick. I know. I don't blame you for not trusting me because usually it's a trick question. Usually every question I ask has some way to make you look silly. But not this one. You can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. What does that mean? What's righteous living, Miss Lana? It is a, Miss Lana said, it is a choice that we make where we choose to give our life completely over to God and choose to not sin. It is the exact opposite, which is basically she just, she kind of gave the amplified version of repentance. No, that wasn't. Bad. That was a great explanation. That's what repentance is. It's you've turned from that which got you upside down to begin with, and the sin that is plaguing you and me and our families and our nation and our churches. You get the idea. So it is turning from that and living for Jesus. Kimmy? Yeah, oh yeah, that's... Yeah, Ms. Kim said that it is godly choices that you make, and I love your description, as things come at you, and don't things come at you? Oh my goodness, it could be your boss, it could be your spouse, it could be you, it could be the guy that cut me off earlier today on Indian Ripple Road that I had to repent. It could have been that guy, me doing the right thing in that situation. It is making the godly choices of obeying what God would have you do in any given situation. And I loved her tag. Her tagline was, but you got to know what it is God would want you to do. And there's kind of one way, and that's the word. And that is the beauty of the Spirit bringing back to your mind what you've read. I always got confused on that. You know, as a kid, I had to learn that memory verse, you know, hide the word in your heart, you know, right? So I never, in my mind, and this is a true story, I had to memorize Psalm 23, right? I got a star if I memorized that. And everything to me is a competition. You know that, even as a little kid. And I was going to get more stars than anybody else. So I memorized Psalm 23 first. And I will never forget it. I thought there is no way, because then they taught on hiding that in your heart. I will never forget, as a little kid in Sunday school, thinking, what happens when I have filled up my heart with verses and there's not room for any more? I thought that. Still kind of freaks me out, I ain't gonna lie. But it is such a blessing when the Spirit of God... God's not going to allow something to come into your life or come at you, as Kim said, because it all has to come through his hands, because you are clothed in righteousness in Jesus, and your Bible said, and he is in the Father. So he's got to get through God and get through Jesus before it can ever get to you. That's a blessing. But when it gets to you, knowing God so intimately that you do know what to do, Jeff does know what to do. Now here's a question. Why do then we not do that? Are we going to just say it's the flesh in me, which was supposed to have died? Because it says you can be a slave to death, or a slave to sin, rather, or you can choose to obey God. You can be a slave to sin, or you can choose to obey God. One leads to death, one leads to righteous living. There is, I will suggest to you, and if you disagree, that's totally cool, but I would suggest that there is nothing that has come at you, as Kim said so eloquently, there's nothing that has come at you that you are not equipped to make the right decision on. No, God don't play unfair. He doesn't. He does not set us up to fail. Rather, your Bible says that we have been given every spiritual thing, every spiritual blessing when we were saved. We have given every spiritual blessing, everything that we need, okay? And we're still growing, don't get me wrong. We still learn every day. We seven times a man, righteous man falls, seven times he gets up again, Solomon said. But righteous living, here's my definition, and then I'll hear from you again. Honestly, it is everything that was said, but it's doing what you already know to do. And not making a choice to do the wrong thing. You're like, well, it was you know, hindsight. I get that. That's him. No. No, that see that's where we drop the ball. And man, if you can't be here Sunday, at least listen to the podcast, please, because we're going to start a journey on worship. It's not anything you can lay down and pick up later. It so is righteous living. Is it? Are we perfect? No. I'm not implying that, but I'm saying that we have the ability, because of the Holy Spirit of the living God that indwells us, empowers us, and we are filled with, we have the ability to confront that and make right decisions. Whatever it is the enemy throws our way, we have the ability to do that. Unfortunately, we don't all the time. Mama? Yes, and I know that, man, as I said before, none of us are 100% on this. None of us, nobody is except Jesus, okay? That's why I'm so excited about the Independence Day that's coming, hallelujah. Because then we ain't got to worry about this stuff. What is righteous living to you? Give me another definition. So far, you're batting 1,000. Righteous living, what's it mean? What's righteous living mean, Justin? Amen. I like the word grace thrown in there. Thank God for grace. It's amazing.
Righteous living starts with identity.
Dude, that
it's recognizing that you're a son or daughter of God and walking out from that. It can't just be doing.
Right.
Doing is good.
Right. Right.
And who you believe you are will dictate what you do. And if you're living, to me, righteous living is you just know you're a son or daughter of God, and you face every situation as that son or daughter, and you walk it out with your brother, Jesus, who's walking
with you. Amen.
He says in Hebrews, I'm not ashamed to call him brother or sister.
That's right.
So, I mean, that helps him just walk in who you are with him.
Yes, 1,000 times yes. It is. Today, as I was writing my notes down, as God was giving me thoughts for Sunday, one of the reasons, this will connect in just a second, one of the reasons that is so important, knowing our identity, is because one of the reasons it's so important as it pertains to righteous living and worship, living a life of worship, not just singing on a Sunday morning, walking with Jesus and living that life of worship and living that righteousness. One of the reasons that is so difficult is because a long, long time ago, Satan pulled off the heist of the millennia, and that is when he stole our identity. He stole our ability because, as Kim said, we gave him a foothold and he came in. We let him in, and when he got in, he took what he wanted. And what he took that was the most important thing we needed to hold on to, because he can't take our salvation. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But he can make you forget who you are. And when you forget who you are, you can't even worship your king, because you can only worship the king if you understand that you are a priest, you're a saint, you're holy. And living that out is righteous living. And I know that as I listened to a podcast this week while we were on vacation, I'm sorry, last week, the pastor in a drive-by sentence said, he read a passage in the Old Testament and he said, I know this is the Old Testament, so it kind of don't apply to us right now, but, and that's when I said, seriously? And I changed on my phone to a different podcast, because the Bible is a book of principles from beginning to end. Now, I understand the relevancy of the New Testament, but it doesn't change what God established in the Old Testament. Amen and amen. Righteous living is living out of the identity of who you are. When that happens, you don't have to get blindsided, as Kim said. And you don't have to, as Lana said, you don't have to keep wondering if you're turned from sin and going in the right direction. You'll know, because you're walking with Jesus. You can be a slave to sin, it'll lead you to death, or you can choose to obey God, it leads to righteous living. Go on. Thank God! Exclamation point. Thank God! Exclamation point. Thank God! Exclamation point. Once you were slaves of sin, but. See, when there's a but is always in a sentence. I understand it's a conjunction to get, but the but is there because what's following is more important than what was in the front half of the but. So once you were slaves of sin, that is truth. But now you are wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Next. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Now, slaves to righteous living is freedom. But no, it says we're slaves. I know, isn't that awesome? We're free slaves. We have consciously and purposefully went to Jesus, and we have bound ourselves to him. We are slaves to righteous living. If you tie me and Justin's leg together, his right leg to my left leg, we kind of got to walk in step, or it's a train wreck, yes? That's what this means. You have become slaves to righteous living. You and Jesus are hooked up. And where he walks, you walk. As he thinks, you think. Where he goes, you go. What comes out of his mouth will come out of your mouth. And if it doesn't come out of his mouth, it shouldn't come out of ours. Okay, next. It says, because of the weakness of Jeff's human nature, I am going to use the illustration of slavery to help you understand all of this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves. You basically stop fighting. You let yourselves be slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, which led even deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves. You see, there's a difference. You let yourselves be slaves, but you got to give yourselves to be slaves. There's a difference. There's a difference. It's a conscious decision that I am going to give my entire life over to Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of my life. He's not just my Savior, he's my King. I'm off the throne of my life, and he's on the throne of my life. End of story. Let's stop talking about it and live like Jesus. And you lead you deeper into sin. You must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. He goes on to say, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. Pause. If I've said it once, I've said it 100 times, and that's not an exaggeration, probably in one sermon. But if I've said it once, I've said it 100 times in the 18 years God has blessed me to be able to learn with you. We can't hold unbelievers to the standard of the scriptures. That's wrong. That is wrong. That is a mistake of the church to hold people who have not had this book illuminated to them and do not have the Holy Spirit of God inside of them. We can't hold them to the standard of this book. It says when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And you can't legislate morality. I mean, I get it. I mean, I could have handed out pamphlets that had the list of what this politician stood for, he or she said before the camera, and then the other list of what this one doesn't stand for, because not that we want to sway anybody, we just want to give you the facts. Well, that's baloney. Big Greek root word there. But I don't want to do that because I'm not trying to legislate morality. More power to you if you really stand for those things. But just because you stand for those things, Mr. Politician, doesn't mean that it's automatically going to turn things around. Because when we were slaves to sin, we were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? Just read that before I read it. What was the result of us being slaves to sin? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now, thank you, Jesus, you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. There it is again. The ultimate independence. But now you are free. You're good. From the power of sin and have become slaves of God, now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. Finally, for the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I just think we need to give him praise for that in this house today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You said, Jeff, why did you go through that? And seriously, did it need to take that long? I want us to understand that you can't just try harder and make this happen. Okay? You can't just, I think I can, and make this happen. One day, we are going to experience the ultimate independence when Jesus takes us home and we live with him for the rest of eternity and have eternal life with him, John 3:16. But that's as awesome as that Independence Day is going to be. Well, there happens to be this day. Well, and then tomorrow. And then the next day, keep going forward until that day that Jesus comes back, okay? What do we do with those? We do, as our brother said, man, we walk with Jesus and we live as he would live. We do as he would do. We understand who we are, and we will not lower ourselves to go beneath that standard. God, thank you, Jesus. When Jesus comes, our ungodliness, our negative baggage, are you hearing me tonight? our negative baggage, it's gone away. It's done. It's done. And I, listen, I can't think of a better freedom than that. The whole scene of Jesus' return, honestly, as I said, it sounds so incredible. There's really not words to describe the emotional, spiritual, physical response that all of us are going to have. But here's what we know, and I'll end with this. Here's what we know according to the scripture. The Bible tells us that Jesus will return to earth just like he left. The book of Acts. Why do you stand there gazing? Just like he left, he's coming back again. Amen? Amen? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's Acts 1. The Bible teaches us that not only will he return the same way he left through the clouds, he's coming with his angels, Matthew 16. We also know that there's going to be a trumpet call of God and a loud command, Thessalonians 4:16. Scripture says believers in Christ are going to be changed. This is in a twinkling of an eye. How fast is that? I don't know. I just know it sounds really fast. In the twinkling of an eye. And then, but get this. See, that's just the first minute, okay? Because Jesus is going to destroy every dominion outside of his. He is going to destroy all authority outside of his. He is going to empower. He's going to, listen, anything that has stood in opposition of the authority of Jesus Christ will ultimately fall. It's Independence Day, man. It's freedom. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about that opposition being done away with. And listen, again, I'll speak for myself. My finite mind finds it difficult to kind of comprehend and really be able to parse that out. I mean, I believe it and I get stoked when I read it, but I can honestly read about it. I can stop and my imagination just goes and I get so excited. But this is my whole point. But then I'm reminded of the people that I know that this day is not going to be a good day for them. And the clarion call that I'm trying to make is, and I'm not wagging my finger at you, I'm saying all of us, what are we doing to at least be a part of the solution to this, so that those that we love, work with, those that live under the same roof as us, etc., etc. What are we doing to make at least prepare the way of the Lord? See, part of worship is just that. Part of worship is preparing the way. My brother talked about being a priest, talked about our big brother. You know, the priests in the scriptures, they had a ton of responsibilities, and that's what I'm in the middle of studying right now, is all the responsibilities of the priest. We were called priests and strange. Am I right? Peculiar people. I think they meant me. Oddball. The priest would carry in the ark, right? On poles on their shoulders. That was part of their responsibilities. Ushering in the presence of God in worship. You and I need to be preparing the way for those who do not know Jesus to come to know him, to get them under the sound of the gospel. Whatever that takes, you know what my motto is. Anything short of sin, I will do it. I don't care what it costs. I don't care what anybody thinks. Anything short of sin, I want to reach those who are far from Christ, even if it means doing things no one else has ever done. Are you with me on that? Yes. I want you to picture in your mind the sky filled with just Jesus and his angels, the sound of the trumpet. It's got to be the most beautiful sound in the world. It definitely is going to be the loudest, so I'm down with that. Jesus radiantly shining as he's kind of leading the way. And try to imagine watching victory unfold. You say, wait, I thought victory happened at the cross. No, no, it did, man. We've already won. This is the end of the story. This is where we see that we've won. See, we know that we've won by faith. You know the ones that I give like incredible props to? Old Testament. Old Testament followers of the one true God. Because, man, they had to have a forward faith. Man, they just had to believe the prophets. And let's just be straight up honest. Most of them were pretty weird. And I don't mean that disrespectfully at all. I mean their behavior was abnormal. Sometimes. Their faith was forward. Our faith, man, we've got this completed book, right? So our faith is backwards. We can look back at the cross and say, there's where it happened. That's when it happened. But when he comes again and that true Independence Day takes place, that's when we know. That's when the proof of everything we believe finally comes to fruition. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And theologians have studied and argued about the return of Christ. They've disagreed about the order of things. I'm here to tell you that your opinion is awesome. I have mine. We know what the Bible says. Listen, at the end of the day, when the smoke clears, we're not going to be arguing about who was right and who was wrong. What's going to happen is we're going to fall on our face and worship Jesus Christ for the rest of eternity. We're not going to be stuck in a corner somewhere till we get this worked out. And I've been called out on this before, and I receive it. I mean, I don't run from being called out. But listen, there's a bigger picture here. There's a bigger picture here than a sequence of events. The bigger picture is we're home. The bigger picture is we're free. Finally, victory is in front of us. We're living everything we had faith in. It now has become a reality. So I'm not going to argue with you about it. I'm not even going to debate you. If you want to know an opinion, I'll give it. If you want to know what I think the scriptures say, I'll give it. But at the end of the day, what matters is, are you and your family getting in the ark? Because he's coming back and it's going to be Independence Day. The normal question would be, are you ready for it? But I believe the question that I'm wrestling with, and I'm just going to ask you to wrestle with, is if we'll just know who we are, live a slave to righteous living, I think our number one concern would be those who are not ready, who are still bound in sin. I don't know how anything else could take precedence over that. How anything else could become more of a priority than the followers, the first followers of Jesus. Man, as soon as Jesus said, follow me, and they agreed to that, they would go and get somebody and say, come and see. They got family. They told friends. There was one woman that had an encounter with Jesus that time-wise wasn't very that long, but it changed her life forever. And she went and told every man in the city, come see this man that has told me everything about me that I didn't even know myself. And he just peeled back the onion and got to the heart of the matter. I wanted to talk religion with him, and he would have nothing to do with that. He talked about worship. That's Independence Day. That's the Independence Day I'm waiting on. That's the Independence Day. Oh, I'm celebrating my freedom now. Please don't mishear me. Does this country need some work? That is the understatement of the year. But I'm glad I'm here. I'm thankful that I'm here. But man, I will never, ever lose sight of the ultimate Independence Day when Jesus once and for all takes away all temptation, sin, sickness, death. and you can believe what you want, but man, I'm gonna see mama. I'm going to worship with Dad again. Grandma. We're free. Let's pray together. I thank you all so much for being here tonight. I thank you for enduring the heat. The air is getting worked on. We'll make it. But I am asking you, first, man, pray for me as I try to unpack this divine, supernatural thing called worship. But I'm just asking you, if you can get a picture of heaven, whatever it looks like to you, if you can get a picture of that in your mind, and then get a picture of that in your mind, and I know you trust me or you wouldn't be here, but I'm asking you to just hear my heart. Guilt's not a motivator. I'm not trying to manipulate you. Get a picture in your mind of heaven, and then get a picture in your mind of heaven without that one that you love. That friend, that family member, isn't it worth risking the friendship, the relationship, whatever? It is worth risking everything. Why? Because one day there'll be an Independence Day that will be the end of all Independence Days. And the beginning of all eternity. So dwell on it, meditate on it, ponder the beauty and the majesty and what's going on in heaven as the scripture unfolds it. And then just for the sake of motivating us, let God tell you who you need to go tell your story to, or invite the church, or whatever God tells you to do. I close with this reality and this scripture, that God and His Son Jesus are not slack in their promises. It is not their will that any should die and go to hell. And we are His plan A, and there are no plan Bs. Father, I thank you for the reality of the Independence Day to come. I thank you for the reality that one day, we will be in your courts. Not just in worship, just transcending there. No, we will be in your courts. You will come to take us home. And we will worship you forever and ever and ever and ever. Thank you for that promise. Thank you for the promise of the ability to live righteously every day. God, remind us of our identity. Not who other people see us as, but who we are in your eyes. And who you made us when we said yes. God, I want to pray a dangerous, audacious prayer. Give us a burden. Give us a burden. Give us a burden for those who don't know you. Give us a burden. Give us a burden. Jesus, unchangeable, powerful, death conquering, sin shattering, chain breaking name, we pray these things. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Be safe tonight. I'll see you Sunday.